Thank you, B team. C team is here. Hey, if you're B team, I'm C team, okay? It's interesting that Pastor Chris taught on momentum this morning. It goes hand in hand with what was laid on my heart, and that's obedience. Heather and I have been walking through obedience 5 months now. It's been interesting for 5 months, and so we're walking through that. And to keep momentum, you have to be obedient to what God wants. Romans 6:16 says, don't you realize that you become the slave or whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. I would rather live righteous and not be a slave to sin. I want to choose God every time. Being a slave to sin means a hard, unfulfilled life. Anybody ever been there? Anybody currently there? That'll be here in a little bit. Altar call. Okay? Were you constantly searching for something else to fill the void when all along you could have been choosing God or choosing to obey God? I'm not saying life is easy once you choose to obey God. Sometimes you pack up and move across the state when you don't know you're going to do that. That's where we're at. God's timing is always better than our timing. If it's your timing, it's the wrong timing. You ever tried to make something work that wasn't supposed to? A job, a relationship, maybe moving? It's difficult. And at some point, you sit there in your own mess that you made and think, I made this mess, not God. And now you have to pray to God to do what? Get you out of it. When you could have just followed him and not been in it in the first place. If the enemy can't get you to disobey, he would at least try convincing you to delay. And delayed obedience, as Pastor Joe says, is disobedience. The dictionary defines disobedience as failure or refusal to obey rules or someone in authority. Who is our authority figure? God. I have to teach this like a youth lesson. That's all I know. I don't know about you, but I don't want to directly disobey my Creator. I want to walk with God. I don't want to be without my Creator. However, I'm no stranger to disobedience. Here's where the fun part begins. My disobedience started at a young age when I was 12 years old. I was a perfect child prior to that, I swear. Hey, I was the youngest in the whole family. I'm the only boy in the whole family. I could do no wrong, I promise you. And in my mother's eyes, I still can't do any wrong. I never was raised in church. Our parents didn't take a church. My mom grew up Baptist. My dad grew up Pentecostal. When they got married, neither one of them wanted to be that, so they chose to be Nazarene. I don't know how you get that out of that, but they did. That was prior to me being around, so I never got raised in church. I never went until I was 12 years old when my sister and her boyfriend took me to church and to church camp. I got saved while my first year at camp, and then the next year I felt called to ministry. That's the correct course of action, right? You're saved, and then you want to go to ministry. Everything was going great until that same year, when my dad, in July, that was July of 2004, and my dad, after 23 years of marriage to my mom, walked out and left us. We never saw it coming. I never saw my parents fight one time in my life, ever. I was getting close to 14 at this time in high school, and that just started a downward spiral in my life. I really didn't have any rules or expectations for my life. You know, my mom was doing the best. Both sisters had moved out by this time, and it was just me and my mom. We're doing the best we can to survive. When I got out of school, she was always self-employed, so I would go help her clean houses and apartments and everything else just so we could survive, literally to survive. We cut cable, which that was big in the early 2000s. We didn't have internet. We did everything we could. I've watched Titanic, both VHS tapes, more times than I want to watch. That's how old I am. I remember having it on, too. I didn't have anyone telling me what I could do and what not to do because my mom was doing the best just to keep us afloat, keeping us fed. I ran for ministry for many years, many years, and then my senior year, I got caught shoplifting at work at Academy Sports, and I got arrested while in high school with all the people I worked with there at Academy Sports. $13 pocket knife cost me $1,200 in fines. I had to go through a drug and alcohol program, still have never done drugs, but I had to go, 12-step program, had to go to a probation officer. And the worst part about it is the day after I got arrested, Dad made me drive to Heber Springs where my grandparents were camping and tell them what I had done. Now, Grandma made me a sandwich, and we just sat there and talked. There again, it wasn't that bad, but it was humiliation, and it followed us into our marriage because I had to, when we went to start adoption stuff, had to write a letter saying that I was sorry for what I had done. Like 15 years before, Heather wrote it, I signed it. Because if I wrote it, you wouldn't read it. But that was my disobedience. Why on earth am I stealing a pocket knife from where I work? You know, all the other boys were. I'll do it too. I left it in my Jeep. I still have it. The judge asked me, he said, did you keep that pocket knife? And I said, yes, sir. He said, good. I'm going to make you pay for it. And he did. I'm probably $1,500 in that little keychain knife, and I kept it. But along with that, I was running, and I was trying to pacify God. I thought, well, if I do serve this way, it will be fine. How many know you can't pacify God? You can't. It was a huge act of obedience for Heather and I to leave our jobs in a town where she grew up and move 3.5 hours across the state to win to youth pastor. I mean, we left really good jobs where we thought we would be there for a long time to make very low pay, very, very low pay. But we survived. We didn't go hungry, obviously. We didn't eat well. We didn't lose anything. But it was a huge act of obedience for us to finally, I was running, she probably wasn't so much, but it was a huge act of obedience for us to finally move where we were supposed to. Just step out and go, I think we're going to youth pastor. And they're like, okay, well, here's 3 hours across the state. That's not what I thought I was going, but I did. Luke 6:46 says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Ooh, that's rough. What that saying is, why do you keep crying out to me, crying out to God, but not doing what he says to do? You can't keep crying out to God to help you if you keep going back doing the same thing over and over. You disobey God, then cry out for him when it all comes crumbling down. We have done that so many times. I'm going to make my own path because that's what the world tells me to do nowadays. Be your own boss. Well, go be your own boss. Have fun with that. And in 6 months, we'll be right here waiting on you. But it's not going to go well. It never goes well. You know who had the biggest obedience in the Bible? To me, Noah. That dude was told to build a boat in the desert. And he was like, all right. God's like, here's how I want you to build it. And he's like, all right, no matter what people told him, he built the boat. Took him a long time to build a boat in the desert, but he did it. And in the end, he was right for obeying. Can you imagine if he disobeyed? I mean, if he could just disobeyed on mosquitoes, that might have been something, but or cats, but we won't get into that. Or in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus tells Simon to go out, to go back out in the water and put his nets back in, even though they had worked all night and caught nothing. You know, he's just standing there, Simon. You know, he's just standing there going, this is crazy. We've been out here all night. I'm tired. I want some coffee. I need some Waffle House, something. And I got to go put this out. But he did it. I mean, being obedient, they went back out there, threw their nets in, and they were so full of fish that they began to tear. That's obedience. Hebrews 5:8 says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from things he suffered. Jesus suffered just as we suffer. He has paid for all of our disobedience. Jesus suffered physical torture, emotional distress, and spiritual anguish, all for who? Me. He did that for me. Then he was nailed on a cross and died. Not his sins, because he didn't have any. He died for our sins. John 15:10 says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I want to be in God's love. First and foremost, I want to be in God's love. I don't want to live outside of God's love. I've been there. It's a dark, scary place filled with death and sin. I don't want to be out of God's love again. Being obedient to God can be as simple as talking to someone at the gas pump. I can do that all day long. I can talk to random strangers in Walmart. Doesn't bother me a bit. Or it could be uprooting your entire family moving across the state. It doesn't matter. The answer is always yes. One way or another, God will get your attention. You ever had God get your attention in a way you didn't want him to get your attention? Oh, yeah. I've done it. You ever quit tithing before? I've done it. And all of a sudden, you're like, I can't pay the electric bill. That's awful weird. We had $500 on Friday, and on Monday, we have nothing. Did you tithe on Sunday? Nope. It's rough. I don't want to be there no more. Galatians 1:10. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. How many of us put things before God? Our work, our kids' sports programs, anything and everything. I have no idea why they do sports on Sundays and on Wednesdays, but my kid will not attend, I promise. Putting something before our relationship with God means we value that more than our relationship with our Creator every time. Let me be vulnerable for a second. It's so easy for me to find almost anything to do besides read my Bible. Anything. I don't like reading. I never have. I was a hooked on phonics kid in the 90s. I had the whole thing. Mom had to teach me to read. I get up in the morning and I'm like, you know what? Before I read, and that's where I have failed, before I read, let me get in the shower and let me make coffee. Let me do this and let me do that. And then all of a sudden it's time for me to leave and drive to work. And what have I not done? I haven't read. Then I pacify God by going, you know what? I'll listen to Christian music all the way down the road because that's worshiping God, which it is. But you can't worship God in a Jeep, I promise you, going down the road through these hills. It's not fun. And all of a sudden, my day has all been all thrown off because I have not obeyed what God told me to do and wake up, be with Him. Your whole day is thrown off. You don't realize it. You start having a rough day, and you're like, I didn't obey this morning. And then you go to your Bible app, and you look, and you're 4 days behind, and you're like, oh, jeez. You've already messed up. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything. Study the book of instruction continually, meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Obedience is not a hard thing. I say that from someone that doesn't obey well, but it's not. If you just say yes and do it, do it. Just do it. Nike, just do it. Just obey, right? If God tells you to sell your expensive car and go full Dave Ramsey and get a cheap car, you might want to do that if God tells you, not Dave Ramsey, but, you know, sell it. If God tells you to move across the state, do it. If God tells you to move to Viola, move to Viola. Here we are, and we enjoy it. If God tells you to do it, just do it. All right, we're going to go to altar call. If you would, stand, please, as we transition to a time of prayer at the altars. And I want to ask you a question. What are you doing right now that Jesus already died on the cross for? Is it drugs? Is it not treating your spouse correctly? Is it something you're watching on TV? We're all guilty, I promise. Just one cuss word on the show you're watching, right? What are you listening to on the radio? Is it glorifying God? Jesus died on the cross for that sin that you're openly committing by doing whatever you're doing. Or are you holding on to something you should be letting go, but you keep going back to it like a vulture does to something dead on the side of the road? Is it something you're not being obedient about? Has God called you to do something or be somewhere that you're not doing that? As I pray, these altars are open, and I will be here to pray with you, and I'm sure any other staff would be willing to do that also. Father God, thank you today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight, Lord. I just want to pray over our pastors as they travel. We're thankful that they get this time away, Lord, because they pour their life into this place, Father God. Lord, I just pray for open hearts tonight, and these altars are open, Father God. I pray that we can have some breakthroughs, Father. And Lord, I just pray that I'm the vessel for whatever you want to be preached and communicated, Father God. Thank you for this congregation, all they mean to us. In your name I pray, amen.